You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are getting ready to roll. We've got Paul N. Eisenberg. He's an SIOR. He's a senior vice president at Dutton Commercial Real Estate Company in Denver. He's recently developed a cannabis business brokerage and consulting firm. We're going to talk about the impact that cannabis has on his business. I know Paul from when he was the top producer here at Cushman & Wakefield in their industrial division. He broke all the records. But the real thing I'm going to break his chops on is, Paul, you're the one with the Bachelor's of Science in Journalism from the University of Florida in Gainesville, and you're out there doing real estate brokerage, and I'm in here doing radio. High five. Let's make it good, Paul. How you doing?
I'm great, Jim. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. I'm rocking and rolling. Now, tell us a little bit about what you found when you moved out to Denver in 2011, and I bet you didn't even know medical marijuana was out there.
You know, Jim, that's exactly right. I didn't know. I also moved out here and not realizing that Denver was the capital of Colorado, which is kind of doomkoff, but it is what it is. I moved out here for better quality of life. I got a little tired of the rat race in Miami, and I ended up at a local firm, the NAI affiliate out here, and I ended up getting an assignment to shepherd a tenant to exercise an option to purchase a building that they were in with a dispensary and grow, and it was the first time I saw it. After I did that deal, I put some partnerships together to own the cannabis warehouses where they were growing. That went okay. A lot of people don't perform when they commit to providing the equity.
What a surprise.
And then I became a business broker with selling licenses and the grows and dispensaries. And then I saw one go by that was so favorable that I got a couple of partners. And now I own a dispensary and I'm putting my third grow together. And it's all real good. I love it.
Well, listen, I want to give a high five. One of your old friends, Mike Silver, asked me to say hello, and he sent me some numbers from the CBRE marijuana medical, I guess you, out there it's just marijuana study. He said between 2009 and 2014, 35% of the industrial space absorbed was in the medical marijuana industry. And just to give people a flavor, in Denver, the marijuana footprint is 3.7 million square feet of industrial space and almost 500,000 square feet of retail space. And the average tenant size in industrial is 2,000 to 100,000, 2,000 for retail. But the real interesting thing that I found was that the marijuana lease rates are 2 to 3 times the average warehouse rate. They didn't have anything for retail. Sounds to me like there's a lot of interesting things going on there. What is some of the nuances?
Well, the nuances are that when I first got here in 2011, they had about a 14% vacancy rate in industrial. Denver's an older city, and a lot of that vacancy was in older, small manufacturing buildings, not good truck courts, really kind of somewhat functionally obsolescent. And many of them were old manufacturing. The ideal building for a cannabis grow is heavy power, and they like them with height, but they can do it with 10-foot ceilings, 12-foot ceilings. So it really took, you know, and then the prices when I first got here were like $40 to $50 a square foot.
Whoa.
Cannabis buildings with the right zoning sell for over $100 now. Mm. It's crazy. It was like a godsend to many of these property owners that had a lot of vacancies in there. And so a lot of brokers have convinced their owner clients to sell their property with the proper zoning because it's a limited type of zoning, mostly the older zoning, and move their non-cannabis operations to other zonings and then lease out or sell these buildings at a huge premium. Really interesting.
It sounds like a great business opportunity, but then that's what you get when you're a first mover. Now, what are you seeing that's a result from, let's call it the stickiness of private equity and capital and banking? You know, it's still not a federally accepted business. What is the impact on the business in Colorado because of that?
Well, we as an industry still do not have banking.
Okay.
There are many companies that have bank accounts under a consulting firm or under a alternate type of business, many of them relocate their accounts several times a year because you have it with Wells Fargo or, you know, they the FDIC auditors come in, the federal government, and they say there's too much cash moving through this account, and they close them. They go to another bank, reopen for 6 months, then they come back to Wells Fargo, for instance, and reopen another account under a different name, and they operate for a while.
So then,
it's dangerous because you know a lot of these dispensaries do only cash. My dispensary, we only take cash. There are some that take debit cards, but generally, you're kind of working in the surrounding, you know, trying to get the job done. And these are people who are operating legal businesses and are have prejudice against them for this. The city and the state take those cannabis dollars and put them right into a bank, a federal bank. So it's kind of a hypocritical situation. You can pay your federal government IRS tax liabilities with cash at the IRS. And those go right into banks. So it's a real sticky situation. I think it's coming around, but we're still kind of in the dark ages. And this goes throughout the country with the cannabis businesses. I mean, it's not just Colorado. But it makes it difficult. The business itself is very lucrative. The private equity funds and certainly there's no institutional lending or financing, but private equity, there's great opportunities both in Colorado and there will be in Florida for private equity companies to come in and either provide even secured first mortgages. People pay hard money rates out here, like 12%. And for business financing, revolving lines or whatever, there's very few people that do this. So most of the operators, like myself and my partners, we have to work on cash. We have to raise 100% cash for our operations. We go to family, friends. Sometimes we go to partners that turn out to be not good partners, like in all businesses. But in the cannabis arena, there's a lot of bad people. There's a lot of what I call big hat, no cattle.
Paul,
you know, they come in, they show funds, but they don't perform because they really don't have the money.
Paul.
And that's very frustrating. Yes, sir.
Paul, we only have like a minute and a half left in the show. So what I'm going to ask you to do is if people want to get more information, we're having you back. I mean, we're having you back for sure. If they want to get more information,
thank you.
How do they get a hold of you? And I know Mike Silver really wants this number. So tell me.
Well, they could call me on my cell phone, which is 305-632-0744. Or they could contact on my personal email, Paul Eisen, P-A-U-L-I-S like Sam, E-N like Nancy, at AOL.com. Yes, AOL still works, as all my young people and my son, they
AOL.
All like, does that still work?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does.
Show my age.
Hey, Paul, I want to thank you so much.